Well, I'm sure you've realized by now that we're focusing on loving like Jesus. We're working through the book of 1 John today. We're at chapter 2, verses 7 to 11. Let me read it for us. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. This is one of those passages of scripture, friends, I know that really should stir the heart of all of us who call ourselves Christian. It's a profound passage of scripture. And yet I wonder how many of us truly know what John is writing about here. More significantly, what this passage is actually demanding from us. As we move closer to the time of elections, I don't know if you're already beginning to notice it, but I'm hearing more and more extreme rhetoric coming from different political parties. And I'm concerned, friends, I'm concerned for us as a country, because it seems more and more political parties are attacking each other in an attempt to make themselves look better. They are aggressively attacking others. And I can understand why that may happen in a political sphere, friends. But what really concerns me is the level of rhetoric. Is the hatred I hear in some voices across the political spectrum. I'm not pointing fingers at any particular political party. I hear it from all of them. I read it from all of them. And I'm really concerned, friends. After today's message, and during today's message, I want you to answer a question. And the question is this: do I love or hate my nearest neighbor? Do I love or hate my nearest neighbor? Friends, we must understand that the word hate doesn't necessarily mean what we think it means. The word hate in the Hebrew, in the Greek, really means love less. You see, we can easily answer the question, do I hate my nearest neighbor? We can easily say, no, I don't hate my nearest neighbor. But then if we ask ourselves, do I love my nearest neighbor less than I should? Friends, that's a different question altogether, isn't it? So, can you answer that question for yourself? I can't be your judge. I just want to share what I believe God has really been laying on my heart This message began to germinate about a month ago already. I've been thinking about it for a long, long time. But as I was putting it together yesterday, friends, I hope that as I put it together, you'll understand where I'm coming from. Do I love or hate, in inverted commas, love less, my nearest, closest neighbor? So as we consider that question, let's look at the text. What does the text say? Well, first of all, we are reminded that the command to love is not something new. John begins this section by writing this, "Dear friends, I'm not writing to you a new commandment, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. The old commandment is a message you have heard." There is an account of an interaction between Jesus and a group of the teachers of the law. It's the passage I was sharing with the children a little bit earlier on. And the passage goes like this. Let me read the whole passage to you. "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, 'Of all the commands, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these.' 'Well said, teacher,' the man replied. 'You are right in saying that God is one, and that there is no one but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You're not far from the kingdom.' And from now on, no one dared ask him any more questions." Friends, there's some significant points that come out of that particular interaction between Jesus and those teachers of the law. And these are them. First one, while all the commandments are important, we should never lessen any of the commandments, friends. Some are more important than others. Because, friends, within every single commandment, it's a command from God. It's part of God's written revelation for us. But yes, the difference, friends, what makes some of them more important than maybe others? Well, friends, it's simply this. Some of them are more public than others. You see, when we don't love our neighbor, friends, the world knows it, doesn't it? When we don't love those around us, the world can quickly see what's in our hearts when they look at our actions. Don't show me your love by what you say. Show me your love by what you do. The second thing we need to remember, friends, Jesus still affirms the old commandment as being valid. As Jesus quotes to this teacher, he's quoting directly from the Old Testament. Jesus isn't saying that that old commandment is something we don't need to think about anymore, friends. He's saying that old commandment is still valid for us today. But one thing Jesus does do is he tells this teacher of the law that the old commandment doesn't go far enough. Look at the last verse. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Don't forget, friends, this man was one of the teachers of the law. He had been one of those who had kept the commandments. For some of the teachers of the law, friends, some of the Pharisees, it was a symbol of their commitment to God that they kept every single one of the laws of God down to the last detail. Wonder how many of us could say that. And even though they had kept every single command down to the last detail, he had loved the Lord with all his heart and soul and mind and strength, and he had loved his neighbor as himself. Jesus still tells him, "You haven't done enough to enter the kingdom of God." Pretty scary, isn't it? The second thing we learn out of this passage, friends, is that we are reminded that there are very serious consequences if we don't keep this command. Look at verse 9 and verse 11 says, John writes, "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness." Verse 11, "But anyone, whoever loves his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him." What's John telling us? He's mentioning a few things, friends, here. He's saying, by not loving in the way that we should, friends, John's saying is you're still in the darkness. What's the darkness? Friends, the darkness is a symbol of evil. The darkness is a symbol of following the devil. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "For once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." If you're not in the Lord, friends, you're still in darkness. Number two, it says, by not loving, you show that you actually never became a Christian. John writes, he says, he still walks around in the darkness. It would be more accurately translated as he continues to still walk around in the darkness. So if you're not following this command, friends, it just means you actually never... you never left the darkness. Still part of your life. The third thing John is reminding us of is that by not loving, you show that you're actually not a Christian and that you're still under the influence of Satan. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Because he says, friends, you're living in darkness. Well, friends, who is darkness? Who's Satan? Well, Satan, friends, if 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 reminds us, he is the god of this age because he has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ who is in the image of God. The fourth thing John is reminding us, friends, is by not loving, you show that you still lust. He says you don't know where you're going. In John chapter 8, Jesus says this, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So friend, if you're not loving like John is explaining, you're still actually part of the darkness. There's a very sad story in Matthew's Gospel, that illustrates this point very well. Let me read it. It's found in Matthew 19. It says this: Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commands. Which one? The man inquired. Jesus replied, Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. The man arrogantly replies, All of these things I have done. What do I still lack? Jesus doesn't focus on the other things, friends. Doesn't focus on whether the man has murdered or honored his father and mother or stolen or anything like that. He doesn't focus on that, friends. He focuses on the last part of his message. Do you love your neighbor as yourself? Jesus says this: If you want to be perfect, sell your possessions and give the money to the poor. You see, friends, the test of whether we love or hate our neighbor, our nearest neighbor, begins to take shape now, doesn't it? It's easy to say, I've never murdered anybody, or I've never stolen, or I've honored my mother and father. But the question we're asking today, friends, do I love or hate my nearest neighbor, or my closest neighbor? Sell everything you have. Give the money to the poor. Then the passage tells us the man went away. He was very sad because he was very rich. Friend, here's the encouraging part. Although both the encounter that Jesus has with the teacher of the law and the encounter of this rich young man kind of are significant, neither of them end off negatively. They both end off with a direction that we can follow to fulfill this command. Listen to what it says in the end of the Matthew passage. Verse 25, it says, When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, Who can be saved? You see, there was a thinking of those days that if you were rich, that meant that God must have had his hand upon you and you must have known the blessing of God because, you know, richness is equal to God's honor. No, friends, that's not the case. The Bible never says that. The Bible never says that being rich is equal to God's blessing. God's blessing, friends, is something totally different from being rich. But this is what Jesus says. Jesus looked at them and gives them this message. And he says, with man it is impossible, but with God everything is possible. You see, friends, when we ask ourselves the question, do I love or do I hate my closest neighbor? We may say, oh Lord, it's impossible for me to do that. But Jesus, friends, reminds you today that with you it is impossible, but with God everything is possible. In Mark's gospel, in the story in Mark, when Jesus is talking to that teacher of the law, he says this to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God. So how do we answer the question, do I love or hate my closest neighbor? How do you answer that question? This is how, friends. You love your closest neighbor when you love them as Jesus loved them. You see, up until now, most of us, I imagine, think, when we think about loving our neighbor, we think in Old Testament terms. We often quote that verse, love your neighbor as yourself. What's the problem with that old command? You see, friends, if that is the way that you love him, because that was the problem of the rich young ruler. That was the problem of the teacher of the law. They were trying to love their neighbor as themselves. What are the problems? Well, there are a few of them. Let me remind you of some of them. The first one is this, friend. Most of us don't even love ourselves very much, do we? When you look in the mirror, do you feel good about yourself? I know some people have got a big ego, but I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at myself and I think, who is this creature? You see, friends, if we're loving people according to the Old Testament standard, love your neighbor as yourself, and you don't love yourself, how can you love your neighbor? There's another problem that we have. If we only love our neighbor as we love ourselves, your capacity to love, friend, is very limited. Because I've only got so much love to give. I don't have an inexhaustible tank. It's like my car. After about 550 kilometers, I've got to go to the petrol station and fill it up again. Because if I don't, I'm going to stand next to the road. You see, friends, if we're using the Old Testament standard, love your neighbor as yourself, you're limited. Because you've only got that much love to give. There's a third problem with that statement, is when you say, I'll love your neighbor as yourself, you become the standard of what loving is. You become the standard. And let me tell you, friends, as I look around at human beings, the standard is not very high. Even if we had to look at the extreme standards like a Mother Teresa, the problem is the opposite is a Hitler. Where do you stand between in that standard, a Mother Teresa or a Hitler? Whatever the standard, friends, it's not good enough. So what's the answer? Listen to what Jesus has to say, friends. John 13. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples. Using my little illustration with the children a little bit earlier on. You see, friends, the world judges Christianity by that standard. The world will know how much we love when we love like Jesus. On another occasion, Jesus said this, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. Remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. This I have told you, so that my joy may be found in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know where his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I have learned from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask for in my name. This is my command. Love each other. Now listen again to this passage. John writes, yet I am writing a new command. Its truth is seen in him. The truth of the command to love, friends, is seen in him and you. That's the encouraging part. Because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. So how can you answer that question? Do I love or hate my closest neighbor? Friend, this is the way to answer it. You love your closest neighbor when you love as Jesus loved. Stop using yourself as the standard. Stop thinking that you may be better than others. Friend, if you want to answer the question truthfully, do I love my closest neighbor? The next question is, do I love them as Jesus loves them? Lord, thank you. Thank you for reminding us of this profound truth, Lord. Help us to get closer to you. Lord, we can only achieve this when we get closer to you. We can't do this in our own strength. Thank you, Lord, that it is possible to love our neighbor, not because we can, Lord, but because you can do it through us and in us. Help us, Lord, to be a place and a people whom, when others look at us, they will say the love of God lives in them. In Jesus' name we pray that for his glory. Amen. Let's sing a song as we bring our service to the close.